Hey everybody, welcome back to Stadia Cast. I'm Bill, that's Lloyd. What's going on, Lloyd?
Not much, man. It's taking closer to the holiday season. We're getting some games in the near future. I'm really excited for what's hitting Stadia in the coming months.
Absolutely. And if you did not know, this is the place where you come to hear us talk about the things that are upcoming or recently happening on Stadia. This is Stadia Cast, a podcast all about Stadia. If you're listening to this wherever podcasts are found, then you can watch the video show. You can even join us live by heading on over to nerdnest.tv, click subscribe, click the bell, and then you get notified when we go live. You'll see our ugly mugs talking about video games right there on your YouTube feeds. And if you are watching this on YouTube and you want to listen to the show, you want to take it with you, then you can subscribe wherever podcasts are downloaded. Before we get started, there are a bunch of buttons down below the video. There's the like button, there's the member button, or the join button, there's the subscribe button. Click all those buttons, see what they do. Every single one of them helps out the show. So let's get started and talk about some video games. What have you been playing this week, Lloyd?
I've been playing a fair bit of Destiny 2. I found Destiny 2 is the perfect, I can't sleep, my brain is going a thousand miles a minute. Let's settle things down. I jump down to my office here. I take my phone. I go to the Destiny Companion app. I take all of the missions that I can possibly take for where I want to go hunt. And then I sit there and I just basically go through and I do all my bounties. I level up my season pass and then I say, okay, that's enough. And I go to sleep. So Destiny 2 has been kind of the most frequently played game. I'm really loving it. The storyline of the Beyond Light stuff, which I never played. I was the kind of guy where it's like, I don't want to miss any story. I got to do all the old story before I do the new story. And the old story is not that great. Compared to the new story. So I kind of jumped over some of the stuff that I was doing, switched back to playing the new stuff. And holy heck, is that stuff really cool when you learn your kind of stasis powers and it kind of goes crazy where you kind of get little power dribbles and you learn to use that stuff. And I'm like, holy crap. If I would have played this when it first dropped, I would have been playing Destiny ever since. It was such a really cool moment. So I know this is old news. Everyone's like, Destiny's 5 years old. What are you talking about? But I had never played through any of that content because there's just so much in that game. And it just continues to wow me how well it plays on Stadia. And especially now that a crossplay is enabled, where you can say, I want to do this strike, or I want to do this specific mission that auto builds a team for you. It doesn't sit for 20 minutes anymore. It's like 30 seconds. Guardian 1, Guardian 2, Guardian 3. Okay, loading, boom. You're flying out towards the planet. So, yeah, man, Destiny 2 has been such a fantastic title to settle my tired brain.
Every time I try and play that game, I get overwhelmed with all of the choices and content. I get analysis paralysis. Yeah, 100%. I almost think that like we would be better off if you made a video that said, hey, this may not be the best way to do things, but this is what I do in order to get to here and do this and do that. And because every time I load it up, I'm like, there's too many choices. I'm just going to shut it off and play something else.
Yeah, they have the quest screen where you can kind of choose all your quests. They try to make it, simplified because it has like all the icons on the side. So you can do like main quests, old story quests, quests for engrams, quests for this, quests for that. And sure, that does organize things, except when you have never played any of the story content and you have all the quests. So you start something and then your quest log fills up really quickly.
Yeah.
So what I've been doing is going into my quest log and saying, okay, I want to do this quest today. So you can hit A on those quests to kind of track them. And then I don't worry about anything else. It's like, go to Europa, do this, kill this many things, collect these items. Okay, head to Europa, take my bounties, go do that quest line. It may be step 3 of 15. I don't care. I completed step 3. Okay, I accomplished something. I did my bounties. I'm ready for bed. And that's kind of how I've been jumping right into Destiny 2. It's been really good, man. A lot of fun.
Speaking of older games that we've started playing again, because it's a pro game, I like it was just kind of in my mind space. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to try out some PGA. And I've been playing a little bit of PGA Tour, really enjoying it. I forgot, like, I was talking to a friend of mine. He doesn't play video games, but he absolutely loves golf. And I was talking to him about it, and I was like, I've forgotten how good the color commentary is, where because I hadn't played PGA in quite a long time, and so my skill level was pretty low. Like, I wasn't, like, I was doing real bad. I was missing my putts. I was hitting the ball, like, instead of landing it on the fairway, it was in and up, like, off in the rough, or you know, a billion bad moves by me. And so I'm doing this the PGA Tour, and like, first, I don't know, three or four holes, I bogeyed, which is real bad. Right. Like, everybody else is like -4, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm +3 at this point. And I was like, and the color commentary was like, boy, he's doing really bad today, blah blah blah. I hope he can pull this out. And then as I started to remember how the mechanics of the game worked, I kept getting better and better. And the commentary reflected that. Like, they talked about how poorly I did at the beginning and how I had improved. And, you know, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but they're like, he's found his game again, like that kind of stuff. And I was like, that's so cool.
That is
the way
really
that
cool.
They nailed that. And it just blows me away how relaxing that game is. So if you haven't picked it up on Pro, make sure that you claim it, because it's an awesome game. And as far as just sitting down and playing a relaxing game, you're like listening to a podcast or something. Right. It is a really good way to unwind.
100%. I agree with you. That was a super surprise that it came to Pro. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are picking it up and playing it for the first time. And it really is good. And I just love how the commentary kind of just goes like this.
Yeah.
We're just going to do some quiet talk. We're going to talk about things and little birds flying in the sky. It's just, it's perfect. It is absolutely perfect. So I'm glad that you reconnected with that one. Speaking of reconnecting, the other game that I've been playing, which was a surprise drop on Stadia, is Katamari Damashi Reroll, which is kind of the newer version of the Katamari Damashi series. Love it all the way from the original. I remember reading the first article about Katamari back on like IGN a long time ago, and I'm like, I need to play this game. It's coming out in North America really soon. I got to find it. Couldn't get it. And I told the story in my first look, but I said PS1 instead of PS2 because it obviously came for PS2. And I was looking into like ways to do region-free mods. Like, is there some way that I can like boot off of a CD and then swap CDs? And there was like all these ways to play Japanese games on North American hardware. And it never worked out. And I eventually found a copy of the original Katamari on PS2 and immediately fell in love with the series. And I think I've played every game that's come out. So Katamari Damashi Reroll is kind of it's almost like a reinvention of the first game. So it's kind of very similar to the way the first game plays out. It's more explaining kind of what that style of game is. But the best part about it is it's fun for the whole family. It has a limited control mode. So instead of using both analog sticks, kind of like tank treads, where if you push up, you move forward. If you push up on one and back on the other one, you rotate around. You can just use one analog stick. So they made it a lot easier for people that maybe don't play a lot of video games. But yeah, if you're not familiar, go watch my first look, listen to the intro music and just get addicted based on the intro music. But you're essentially this little guy who's the prince of the king of all cosmos, and he broke all the stars, and you have to basically go to Earth. You take this little Katamari that is this little sticky ball thing, and you're rolling up all the objects on Earth. And then when you've built a big enough ball, the king of all cosmos takes it and rises it into the sky as a star. Stupid, crazy, bizarre fever dream of a story, but it works, and it is such a fun game. It's on Stadia right now. It's $10 on sale pretty much everywhere in North America. Of course, it'll differ based on which part of the country or the world you're from, of course. But for $10, getting an introduction to the Katamari franchise, on Stadia is pretty awesome. I've already played Reroll, but I'm playing it again. I'm re-rerolling on Stadia because I want to play through the game again. I love this franchise so much.
Yeah, I've never played it. I never played the original. I never played Reroll. I remember like a long time ago listening to another podcaster who I've spoken to quite a few times, and that's Bobby Blackwolf. He's got a podcast called The Bobby Blackwolf Show, and he just kept going on and on and on about how awesome Katamari, and he always said Damacy, not Damacy. I have no idea how you're supposed to say it, but he was always talking about how great that game is, and every time I looked at it, I was like, wow, it's really interesting, but I don't know if I want to spend the money on it. $10 is like, that's not bad. That's not bad for a game. And how, I mean, it seems like the kind of game where you can jump in, play a level, and be done pretty quickly.
Yeah, like the levels are, you get timed on all the levels, and they'll range from like 5 minutes to 15 minutes. And you have like that much time to make a Katamari that is 10 meters big or 5 centimeters big. And you basically just rolling around trying to get things. The way it works is you have to gobble up the small things before you can gobble up the big things. So you're basically, when you start in the early levels, you're basically going around like a bug on a table size. But as you roll it, you increase in size, your Katamari increases in size, and then you can start picking up bigger and more, I don't know, exciting things, because you can get some like wrestlers and crazy bird people and like all this just like insane stuff. This was kind of like, for me, this was the sort of the start of the like crazy fever dream, like Japanese titles that were like super popular in Japan, but they didn't really come to North America. Katamari kind of changed that. And then there was a bunch of games that were very similar in kind of tone and just wackiness, that started coming, either as imports, like limited North American release or full North American releases. But man, Katamari just has a special place in my heart. I can remember playing the original game with my wife just for hours and hours and hours and just laughing because it's so insane. But yeah, heck of a lot of fun. And for $10 on Stadia, it's quite the steal.
Yeah, and most of the people who are watching right now haven't played it. They're like me. They've never played a Katamari game.
Check out the first look.
68% of the people watching right now haven't played it. So absolutely check out Lloyd's First Look. It's on our YouTube channel if you're listening to this, nerdnest.tv, so you can see what the game's like, because even though he's describing it accurately, having watched footage of it before, if you haven't watched footage of it before, what he's saying probably doesn't make all that much sense, because it's a really weird, bizarro kind of game that doesn't really fit into any other genre. Speaking of games that don't fit into genres, I want to talk about a game that does fit into genre, and that's Darkwood. This is a game that I was very intrigued by. Like the tagline, and I could be getting this wrong, the tagline that they were saying that they used was, it's a horror game without the jump scares, which is cool. Although I kind of like jump scares. Like I think that they're fun. Right. So that's interesting to me, but it's this horror game where everything is from the top down perspective, and I love what they're doing with your cone of vision. So basically, wherever your character is facing, you have like a 90 or maybe a 100 degree cone in front of you of vision that you can see. You cannot see behind you. And so you have to but you can see what you've seen behind you. There's like a fog of war where you can see like the things that were there last time. But then when you turn around, there could be something there that wasn't there before. You can't see things that are moving outside of your cone of vision. You can also craft like torches and things like that in order to create more light, in order to give yourself a longer or wider cone, which is very cool. But it's this top down, I'm going to say almost kind of like a point and click adventure without the point and clicking, which I'm like, I always want to like point and click adventures, and I always play them. I'm like, oh, that's not, I don't like point and click adventures as much as I want to. But I absolutely was surprised by this game. Only 20 minutes in, and the game completely surprised me. Now, this is my first full week back with students, so my time to sit down and really play games has been not a lot. And so I haven't really gotten that much further since my first look. But in my first look, at the end, I think it's revealed, and I could be wrong about this. And again, this is only 20 minutes in. So if you want to completely avoid spoilers, just mute me for the next 10 seconds. In the first 20 minutes of the game, I think that I realized that I'm the bad guy. And that just kind of blew me away. Like, I was like, whoa, that was a shocker. I had no idea that that's the direction that this was going to go. Now, maybe as I play, I'm going to find out that that's not the case, but that's what it feels like. And the art style, the sound design, everything about this is absolutely top notch. And I want to say that it reminds me of the way that Resident Evil 7 made me feel. Very, very uneasy as I'm moving around in this world. So if you enjoyed Resident Evil 7 because of that uneasiness that you felt, then you might also enjoy Darkwood. Again, keep in mind, I haven't played much of it, but that's a game that I played today. I think that that game's really, really cool, and I don't know how much more of it I'll play just because it makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it looks really good. Like, I watched your first look. I haven't played it yet. It's a game that I want to jump into just to check out. Darkwood's the name of the game, NITL7 in chat. It looks really cool. I love the kind of searching mechanic where you kind of walk up to objects and you kind of look inside. It reminds me a little of there's a really hardcore multiplayer shooter called Escape from Tarkov, where everything seems to have like little compartments, and you're searching everything to find the little weapons and ammo and keys and cans of beans and water buckets and all that crazy stuff. Darkwood, the looting mechanic kind of reminded me of that, where you have limited inventory space, but there's a bunch of junk. Everything has value. Are you really going to be selling things? Is there a trading mechanic? You don't really know, but you definitely don't want to leave the thing that's worth 100 gold right away, because I might need that gold in the future, or 100 coins or whatever. It looks really interesting. And the fact that it's a survival horror game that is set up kind of like Hotline Miami, where you have that cone of vision and you're going through doors with really interesting animation. It looks really interesting. Again, haven't played it. It's on my list. I want to jump into it as soon as I can, because yeah, it does look pretty awesome.
Yeah, I also want to say, like you mentioned, like leaving things behind. You do have a limited inventory, so there's only so many things that you can carry. And like in my playthrough, I had gotten to like this point, and I had to make a choice. I was like, do I take this thing with me, or do I take this thing with me? And anytime that a game can make the player make a choice, I think that that's a really, really good thing. And it's not just about it. The choices aren't about combat. It's about, okay, I may need this down the line, but I may need this down the line. What am I supposed to do? I sat there for a second thinking about it. Which one of these two things do I want? I'm just going to drop this one because the other stuff might be really, really important. I also will say that there's something that I think you're supposed to do where like your character's dog is like whimpering and whining, and the character was like, I should put him out of his misery. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And that, like that right there motivated me to not want to play the game based on that. Cause I don't want to have to do that as part of the game. So, it's definitely a game that is made for a very specific set of people.
Right. Yeah. It's really interesting. And I do remember that part of your first look where you're like, I'm not doing that. And you just kind of went off and did other things. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the exact same reaction I would have. I don't want to take a little puppy dog's life. So, that's cool. That's Darkwood. I've been playing one other game as a preview. This game comes out on the 15th, I believe.
I think it's
called Merrick's Market. I've been playing a preview key that I was given on Xbox. So I haven't been playing the game on Stadia, but this game is hitting Stadia really, really soon. And for people that like time management games, this is definitely a game to check out. We'll definitely cover it more when the game comes out. But it is a game very much like Overcooked, except you're running a medieval factory. So I'm going to have a first lookout on the 15th. As soon as I legally can, I'll have a first lookout. But if you like games like Overcooked or other games where you're kind of you have to manage timers based on, OK, I need to make a pot, so I need to put some clay in the fire, and then I need to put some more coals on the fire, and then, OK, the pot's going to make itself. But now someone needs a chair, and this other person needs a wand, and this person wants to haggle about bread and water, and all this stuff kind of happens, and you're running back and forth behind the counter, doing all the creation, doing all the selling. It is a heck of a lot of fun. I wish I could show you a video, but I missed the preview window to get a video out, so it'll be it'll come out after the actual game drops. So Merrick's Market is going to be hitting Stadia really, really soon. I believe it's the 15th or the 14th or 15th is when it comes out, and it's, I believe, $20. It's up to 4-player co-op, and you can play couch co-op with people, run your own medieval store, make people happy, barter with customers, rip them off if you can, give them a break if you want. This game's going to be hitting really, really soon, and it's very, very good.
That's awesome. All right, let's move on to the news. We'll start with this week on Stadia. There's not a lot to add here that we haven't already covered from this, but there's a video right here of Katamari. So I wish that I had put that on while you were talking about it. I just forgot. But a couple of things. Number one, Life is Strange True Colors. That game is coming, or is now out. I haven't played it. I know that you were looking forward to that one, but you haven't picked it up yet, right?
That is correct. There's too much on my plate. I was just drinking my coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. another thing real quick is that we've got free play days, which I always appreciate it when they do this. They say it's another free play weekend on Stadia, which I think that like every weekend for the last, 6 weeks or so has given us some games to just try out, which is awesome. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong, but I think it's pretty close to that.
I think so.
But basically, starting on September 9th and then throughout this weekend, you are able to play Madden NFL 22 if you are a Stadia Pro member, going up until tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And then if you want to continue playing the game after that, it's $60, which for those of you that don't know, you don't have to subscribe to Stadia in order to buy games. So if you are somebody who wants to play Madden and you don't have an Xbox and you don't have a PlayStation, you can just buy Madden if you want. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it on Stadia only because the population is low and they don't have a ton of EA has not implemented crossplay, which is
right.
Which is really bad. I saw that. Isn't that already in the show notes, Lloyd?
Yes. Different links that didn't work in from the show notes.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Yep. Anyway, any thoughts about... and then there's Rainbow Six Siege, is also free this weekend. So if you have not played that, that game is awesome. Surprised me because I normally would not enjoy that kind of game, or at least I didn't think that I would enjoy that kind of game. That game's really, really fantastic. So if you haven't played it yet, now's your chance to play it if you're a Stadia Pro member. Any thoughts about those two?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate what you said. It's amazing that there's free play days pretty much every weekend. Like you said, it's been 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. Like I have to go back in time to kind of see when these really started. They were kind of like onesie twosie, maybe one a month, but it definitely seems like Stadia is stepping this up. I don't know if this is part of their new marketing. Maybe they want to have free things for people to play every weekend to get people signed up for Stadia Pro. I'm not really sure, but two great games. Madden NFL for people that want to watch the egg ball. You can do that on Stadia, but Rainbow Six Siege is a really good one as well. And all of the really big packs are on sale as well because of this game being free to play for the weekend or free play weekend. So if you missed out on the deluxe pack, it's not $10 anymore. I think it's $30 or something like that, but you still get all of the agents unlocked and everything like that. So yeah, really good games, and free play days are just a great way to show how awesome Stadia is. You sign up for an account. If you don't already have a Gmail account, you sign up for your pro account and you click play and you're playing a game within seconds. It's pretty quite amazing.
Yeah, and in the description down below, there is a link that will give you like a free month or two of Stadia Pro if you've never used it before. So you can try all of this out without spending a dime, which is awesome. You know, you mentioned something about these free play weekends, and it occurs to me, I wonder if publishers, you know, the deal that you get by being played on Stadia Pro.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that counts for this kind of thing, because that would be a really good motivator for companies to say, hey, I'm going to put a game for free play weekend on Pro, but then I can also turn that into a bunch of sales if my game is good.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what the deals are there. I know a lot of these games are, it's not just Stadia free play. A lot of these games, when they go on free play weekend, they're across all platforms. So there's probably an industry-wide agreement to get this stuff happening. But then it looks like there's some games that are just on Stadia. So I wonder what those deals kind of look like. I really wish I was a fly on the wall back in the day of the whiteboard and all that stuff, just to kind of see what all this stuff looks like. Because it's I don't know, it's just endlessly fascinating for me watching all this stuff kind of play out.
Absolutely. And we're going to move on, but Anthony Talca is mentioning something in chat. Just so everybody knows, if you do send in a super chat during the show, we will respond to all of them at the end. So thank you very much, Anthony, for that. Let's continue. And I want to talk about Jack Buser, or I don't know how to say his name. Buser. That's what Buser, I thought. Yeah. I've seen a lot of articles out there saying, you know, Stadia has lost another, you know, person or whatever. And that is so disingenuous. And most of the time, I chalk up the negative articles to ignorance. I have a tendency to assume ignorance instead of malice. That's just a philosophy that I've always kind of gone with. But this one is just ridiculous because so for those of you who don't know, Jack Buser was the what was his job title? I've forgotten now.
He was the
director of gaming at Stadia.
Yeah,
he was director of gaming at Stadia, and now he's moving over to Google Cloud. And everybody who is saying, "Oh, Stadia lost another, you know, bigwig or whatever," like, this is not that. This is more like this is like when a principal gets promoted to superintendent at the same school. You don't say, well, the school lost that person. This is like Lloyd going from, you know, one job in IT to now doing a different job in IT for the same company.
Exactly. Right. That's the difference here. It's like I watch all the Apple keynotes, and it seems like every couple keynotes they'll introduce Phil Schiller with a different title. It doesn't mean he left Apple. It just means he's doing other things. And that's definitely what is happening here with Jack Buser. Google is focused on making their cloud servers bigger than Microsoft and Amazon. They have a goal. They want their cloud services to be bigger than the rest of the players in the industry. And I mean, that's kind of what happens in the world. You find a new market and you try to take advantage of it. So he's leaving a Google company to go to another Google company. So he's not really leaving Stadia, because he is going to Google Cloud to be the director of global gaming solutions. So he's still going to be dealing with gaming. There was a big focus at the at GDC, I think it was, or one of the last, or Google I/O is what it was, when they were talking about how to spin up servers, and it's like, go to this menu and hit this thing, and you have a prototype of a server that you want to roll up. Okay, let's start up a server in North America. Let's start up one in Europe through this interesting interface, and those are servers for gaming. And that is what he's going to be the director of. So to say that he's left Stadia is technically correct, because he won't have Stadia on his business card anymore. But I think he's like next door. He's like rubbing shoulders with someone else that does have Stadia on their business card. So, well, ultimately the headlines are true. Stadia lost another big exec. It's going next door, essentially, to do things that are tangentially related to what he was doing with Google Stadia. So I don't know. It's one of those articles. People are going to flip out. The doom and gloomers out there revel in this stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just refuse to take part in that stuff, because it doesn't benefit anybody.
Yeah, I just, like, the thing is about this is, at worst, this is like a promotion. Mm-hmm. Like,
right,
he did a good job, so they're having him do something else. That's what happens. You know, John Justice leaving, we don't know why John Justice left. Jade Raymond, she left because she wants to make games, and Google said, we're not making games anymore. I think that, like, people are like, every time somebody looks at some executive moving from one company to another, that happens all the time. All the time. You should not be surprised.
And it seems to be way more common at Google. Like, it's regular to see a byline in an article about Bob Jones, director of customer satisfaction for email. And then the next time this person's quoted, it's like, Bob Jones, the director of marketing for Google Duo. And it's like, people are moving around from one job to another mm-hmm. a lot at Google. Maybe other companies like Microsoft and Sony, their big executives maybe don't move around as much as they tend to do at Google. But that seems fairly common at Google. But again, I'm not a Googler. I don't work for ABC. So maybe I only have a flawed idea of what goes on in the company. But I've seen a lot of articles over the years about how people kind of do the what's that game where you walk around a bunch of chairs and there's one less chair than people. I can't remember what that's called. And they play music and then they stop the music and you sit down on a chair. I'm blanking on it and it's bugging me right
musical
now.
Musical
chairs. There you go. I said the words. I literally said the words.
I was struggling with it too, man.
Oh my God, I'm so tired. But yeah, it definitely seems like Google is more of a musical chairs company where people are moving from place to place. So technically, this is right. He did leave Stadia, but did he? He's kind of working with Stadia. So I don't know. This whole conversation online, where people were quick to point out that Google lost another person, just makes me just sit there and shake my head a little bit.
Yeah, well, Google has lost something. They lost, probably pronouncing this wrong, Chia.
Yeah.
Which I'm disappointed. Chia. Like, back a while ago, it was announced that this game was coming to Google Stadia, and now it's no longer coming to Stadia. In fact, it is coming, I believe, exclusively console-wise to PlayStation, and on PC exclusively to the Epic Games Store, which this definitely disappointing, because I want this, but this is not the first time that you've seen a game move, like, that was supposed to come on to platform A and decided to move to platform B instead. Why did this happen? I'm guessing PlayStation and Epic Games handed them a giant pile of cash and Stadia didn't. That's a big mistake on Stadia's part, in my opinion. although I don't like it when somebody says, here is a big bag of cash, don't put your game on other platforms. I always feel like that's playing dirty. And I know that's how the game is played. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to see to play Chia, which looks incredibly cool on Stadia, which is really disappointing. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it is really sad. The actual tweets from Chia, I think is what it is. I don't know. I'm just making that up like everybody else. Says, unfortunately, our partnership with Stadia didn't work out. We had to adapt quickly. And Chia found a home on PlayStation and EGS, Epic Games Store. This enables us to keep working on the game and make it the best it can be. So I wonder if this is just they were part of maybe Stadia Makers, or they were trying to become part of Stadia Makers. They said that we're going to make the game. They were promised if you hit all these milestones, you're going to get this chunk of money. And then Google changed the way that they do pro. Maybe it was something as simple as that, where the contract that this company expected to still be there had changed. And they're like, well, this game is still a ways out. We're not going to be making money right now. We got to go somewhere where we can fund the development of this game. It could be something just as simple as that. But it is disappointing because this game looks so good. In fact, this was the game that I was most excited about at the Sony event, other than like the new Spider-Man and Wolverine stuff. But I mean, I'm a Marvel guy, so I'm always excited about that stuff. The secret is I'm always excited about Marvel. This was the other game that was shown off that was the most exciting. Like, you're going around an island, you're putting your soul into all these different animals. So if you go into a bird, you can fly around. If you go into like a quick animal, you can run around and do stuff like that. It just looks so fantastic. And it is sad to me that I won't be playing that on Google Stadia.
Yeah, I probably won't be playing it at all because I don't have a PlayStation up here. I mean, we have a PS5 downstairs, but it belongs to my son, and I really don't play on it very often at all. I don't have a PS5 up here. I'm not planning on getting one anytime soon, so that means I'm going to miss out on some exclusives. Yeah. And I'm just going to have to be okay with that, because it's not like I don't have a billion games to play. Like, that's the thing, is I was just talking about this. I was recording Nintendo Switchcraft yesterday, and I was just kind of talking about how I feel like I haven't bought a game on my Switch in a really long time, because I constantly have all of these other games to play, and Nintendo hasn't released anything that I felt like I absolutely have to play this until yesterday. WarioWare came out, so I ended up picking that up. But I find it hard to get upset about missing out on some console exclusives, because yes, I would like to play those games, but I don't have time to play the games that I have already. Like, that's the thing. It's ridiculous how many games that we have to play right now.
Yeah, 100%. And a game like this, it'll be a game that I'll pick up eventually. I'll probably pick it up on Epic Games Store. Maybe I'll play it on like GeForce Now or something, play it that way, or load it on my PC. There's other ways to play it. Mm-hmm. Maybe by that time I'll be able to find a PlayStation so that I can actually play it on a console as well. I'm really happy that this game didn't just go away when they lost funding or whatever happened here, because it looks like it's going to be a fantastic title to play. Sadly, it just won't be on the platform that I love to play all my games.
Yeah, Craig Anderson in chat says, play it on your PC. I would like to. I mean, I got a 2070 as my graphics card, and I'm guessing, like, I can run most games pretty good. That game is really pretty. Like, when you look at that game, it is a gorgeous game. I don't know if my computer is going to be able to play it. So, I don't know. We'll see. I am a little sad that it's not coming to Steam, so that means I'd have to find some other weird workaround to get it to work on the Steam Deck, but whatever. Let's move on and talk about a game that is coming to Stadia, and that's Sky Climbers. I know that like, I've been extremely skeptical about this game, mostly because of, like, they showed off gameplay. They showed off some footage of the game, and then they constantly were talking about the things that you could do, but you didn't really get to see that. And then they showed off some gameplay where you got to see some of this other stuff, but like, they're doing this weird combination of Pokemon and open world stuff, and it looks really, really fun. And it's coming to PC first, but then somebody said, well, when's it coming to something other than PC? And SkyClimbers replied to that tweet. They said Stadia release will be the next platform after PC. Are you still hyped for this game? I'm still very skeptical that a tiny team is going to be able to pull off what they're talking about. But what do you think?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt for sure with this one. I've been following kind of like the dev logs and some of the stuff they've been posting. It looks really, really good. I love the fact that it's coming to Stadia thanks to Kickstarter. I did kickstart this game, so I will be playing it when it hits PC and hopefully when it eventually makes its way to Stadia as well. It looks really good. If you like Pokemon and if you like building cities and going on massive adventures, kind of like if you're in like Monster Hunter, this seems like a really great combination between a world builder, a Monster Hunter, and a Pokemon type game kind of all blended into one. Again, just like what you said, Bill, it's a small development team, or it was a small development team at launch, or at Inception, rather, mm-hmm. when they first kind of did the Kickstarter. I am a little bit worried based on some of the early gameplay, but some of the later gameplay looks even better. So maybe my worries are unfounded with this one.
There you go. All right, let's move on to the super chats and stuff that have come in during the show. We call this crowd play. Or crowd choice. I can't remember what the heck it's called. It's in the show notes, but I'm not opening crowd those right now. Crowd play. So this is when we talk about what you guys want us to talk about. So real quick, during the show, we had some new members. Silent Torque, Mr. Chip, Cookie McCrumble all became members during the show. Thank you very much for that. We really do appreciate the support. Sukotronic sent in their usual super chat that they do every single week. We appreciate that support as well. And we got a comment in here with a super chat for $5 from Anthony Talcott. They said, it's been almost 2 years since Stadia has launched and people are still confused about the pricing. There's got to be a better way to inform people. Oh my God. Yes. This is so ridiculous that Google, like, they should put out a video. They should put a live stream that is just up 24/7 on YouTube that says, by the way, you don't have to subscribe to Stadia Pro in order to play games on Stadia. Like, it is a ridiculous thing that people still have yet to figure this out. And it is all on Google for the way that they messaged at the very beginning. People grabbed onto that. And they just cannot let go. It's like a dog holding onto a rope. The harder you pull, the more they're going to bear down. And Google has to find a way out of this. What do you think of the solution is, Lloyd?
Yeah, I don't really know. Like, it seems like everybody seems to understand what it is. Like, you'll see articles and they'll talk about Stadia. And it's like, you can buy the game on Stadia or join their pro service to get 4K streaming and games every month. And then, like, the next week, the same organization, the same website will have an article that is completely just wrong. So I don't really know what it is. It seems like Stadia has always been kind of the afterthought to a lot of the journalists that work the gaming industry. And maybe they're so overworked right now. Like, I've been reading a lot of articles of people getting heavy burnout from being in the game journalism space. So it's probably not even malicious, to be quite honest with you. It's just so much burnout is happening in the industry that maybe that's part of it. But I hope that this gets sorted at some point, because I would love to read an article on IGN and they get all the details right about Stadia, or you go to Polygon and they get all the articles right about Stadia. But that doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon, where people know that they can buy the game for $60. They can play the free games through Pro if you pay $10 a month, or you can just play the free-to-play stuff without buying anything.
Right.
I mean, that would be so easy to get the word out and spread it, but it just doesn't seem like the industry really cares right now.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, the most accurate article that I have seen about Stadia was from CNN. Not right. Game journalists, from CNN. And like that one, that's the one where they clearly understood the platform the most. Now, at the end of the article, they said, well, I have super powerful hardware to play video games with, so I don't need Stadia.
Right.
It's not for me, but it just because it wasn't for them didn't mean that they crapped all over it. They told everybody exactly what it was and how it worked. And the fact of the matter is, you go on Twitter and you mention it, and somebody always comes back at you and they say something along the lines of, I'm not subscribing and paying for games at the same time. And Google needs to get that, like, they need to constantly remind people that Pro is optional. They did that, like, it was either, I think it was before they did the good stuff video. They did these two videos that were, like, really, really well done and explained, you have everything you need in order to play, and Stadia Pro is optional. They had these two really good videos. Yeah. They need to put out that kind of content nonstop. They need to hire a marketing team, and that's all that they do, is to try and change people's perception, because once people grab a hold of something, it's really hard to correct something that they've learned wrong.
Yeah, 100%. That's kind of the way it is. I think what would be a great solution, a great fix for the entire industry, is if a big free-to-play game like Apex Legends or Call of Duty hits Stadia, and you'll have a wave of articles saying you could play Call of Duty Warfare right now on Google Stadia. Just click this link. You don't have to sign up for any sort of paid program. You just get a free pro account. If it's your first time, you can cancel it, but you can play this free, and there's no cheaters and all this stuff. I thought a lot of those articles would come when we got Rainbow Six on, but that didn't seem to happen. I thought there, because it's, I guess, not free to play, you have to buy the game and do stuff like that. But maybe if a big free to play game comes, some of that, the industry, I don't know, mentality around Stadia, the we don't have time to cover this, it's so small, let's just ignore it. Maybe that mentality will go away. At least I hope so.
Yeah. You know, Justin Lindholm in chat, he puts this really interesting point out there. How many of those people, here's what he said, how many people subscribe to Game Pass and buy games? And that's like, that's exactly the same thing. It's funny. I saw an article that was requesting, essentially, that was like, hey, it'd be real nice if I could just buy games on Xbox and play them on xCloud without having to have the game be as part of Game Pass. Right. And I was like, well, that's what Stadia is, that everybody hated the idea of.
If there was only a service that is currently working right now that is used by lots of people, gee, that would be amazing. maybe we should make something, Bill.
Yeah, maybe. All right, moving on to this $20 super chat. Thank you very much, Consigno, for the support. They said, it seems lost on journalists that maybe Google has decided or realized that a great way to get publishers onto Stadia is to first get them on GC. Google Cloud. Okay. On Google Cloud, and then cross-sell Stadia. And this was seemingly implied by a Google Cloud spokesperson. What do you think about that?
Yeah, like I said, going back to Google I.O. when they started talking about rolling up servers and doing remote debugging and all this stuff, we know that a lot of developers use Stadia for remote development when the pandemic first hit because there was no other way to make games. So if Google can build up all of the tools, it's like, hey, look at these really great servers. You can roll up servers and you could pay per second of server utilization. And look at this. And you can do load balancing and look how fast our networks are together. So if you're doing server-based multiplayer, it doesn't matter if you have a user in Europe or if you have a user in North America, the communication between servers are super quick. So you'll be able to have your games perform amazingly well. But if you want them to perform even better, just come up with a Stadia version, and then those can take full advantage of all that low latency and all this stuff. I think a good to what Consigno said, a really good way in is to kind of do sort of like the Trojan horse. You wheel out this really beautiful Trojan horse in this instance, a really good cloud architecture for multiplayer gaming servers. And then you say, hey, if you want an even better experience, why don't you just do this? Hit publish for Stadia, because we have this new great utility that will do the translation from running DirectX on a PC to running Vulkan on Linux, and we can do all this stuff and then come up with all their other tools to do easy onboarding with developers. And maybe this is just another way to drive a wedge into the door to keep it open a little bit for some of these developers that maybe are hesitant to jump onto another platform.
You know, and another thing to think about, and we've said this on the show a million times, so forgive the repetition, everybody. Yeah, it's been 2 years, but when you're talking about making video games, 2 years isn't that long. And mm-hmm. Google has made some big changes very recently, like, I don't know, like 4 months ago, it might have been, maybe 3 months ago, where they changed the monetization model for devs that are the publishers that have their games on Stadia Pro. They also just announced the thing that Lloyd was just talking about, the Stadia porting kit that's going to make bringing your games to Stadia easier. And so, yes, if you look at Stadia as a traditional console, which you shouldn't, but if you look at it as a traditional console, okay, you should look at it as a traditional console in that devs have to target specific hardware in order to get their games to run, but you shouldn't think of it as the business model as a console. And here's why. If the Xbox Series X, launched and floundered for 2 years, well, what Microsoft would be smart to do is say, all right, well, we're going to push our next iteration a little sooner than we otherwise would. But there is no next iteration for Stadia. There's no Stadia 2. There's no Stadia 3. There's no Stadia 360 or whatever. It's just going to continue to be Stadia, and the hardware over time is going to upgrade, but we're all going to continue to just play on Stadia, which means that first 2 years isn't nearly as important with Stadia as it is with a box under your TV.
Yeah, 100%. Alberto in the chat room says Google needs to work on Stadia Play Store integration and add an option so that you can pay for games with Stadia with Play Credit. Yeah, Alberto, why isn't that there for all platforms? I have to grab my old Android tablet that I don't use for anything else other than charging it every once in a while to buy a game with my Google Play credit. It would be nice if that was on the cloud or on the web. If I could pay for games with Play credit, that would be fantastic. Because I know that's how a lot of younger people buy games. They'll get like an iTunes mm-hmm. card or a PlayStation card for Christmas or birthday to buy games they want. It just seems really weird that you can't do that on Stadia right now. So yeah, good call, Alberto. Thanks for dropping that comment in.
Absolutely. And can you go into a Target or a Best Buy and buy a Stadia gift card?
No. Google Play.
What is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Just put Google Play or Stadia. This card works for Google Play and Stadia. Just like when iTunes became Apple Music and Apple TV and all the other apps and that iTunes went away. Apple changed the gift cards to say this is for Apple Music credit, but it's also for apps. It's also for this. They could do that as well. They could just put a Stadia logo on the Google Play stuff and be done with it. But then, of course, you'd have to be able to use Google Play to pay for games on Stadia, which seems to be very hit and miss.
Yeah, and I would also very much welcome going into a store and having, I don't know,
your yearly Google Play or yearly Stadia Pro membership that you could buy.
Well, yeah, but that's not what I was going to mention. I was going to say like Assassin's Creed Valhalla and a little card hanging on the thing so that people can walk into a store and see it, because like, yeah, we had we were still in the middle of the pandemic, but during the height, the craziness of it, when everything was shuttered and closed and everybody was in their house nonstop, this didn't matter as much. But now people are going into stores and they don't see Stadia stuff laying around. They don't see that. Most people, everybody thinks that everybody hates on Stadia. Most people are unaware of its existence because they can't see it in a store and they don't spend all their time on YouTube watching idiots like Lloyd and I talk about video games. So I just don't understand. Like, that's, it's very simple things that that could solve their problems. Maybe there's a reason they're not doing them, reasons that Lloyd and I don't understand because we didn't go to business school. But it just seems very obvious to me, like these kind of things have to happen.
Yeah. And there's a segment of the population that comes to our streams and says, "Oh, I thought Stadia was dead." And they're just being trolls. But then there's the people in general where it's like, "Oh, Stadia is still a thing. I heard it shut down," because all the articles everywhere said it shut down. Stadia is dead. They closed their game studios. They're winding down business, which none of that happened other than they closed SG&E, but Stadia hasn't ended. But people that read the IGNs and the Polygons have a very different idea of what Stadia is compared to people that are listening to StadiaCast or watching StadiaCast and going to some of the other Stadia podcasts. But you need to know about something to then get information about it. Google needs to get out there and give people that don't know about it the information before they have to hunt it down. So they have a tough job ahead of them as a marketing team. So hopefully the new additions to their marketing team will help out, and they can start spreading the gospel.
The stuff that they've been doing on Twitter has been fantastic, but I feel like everything else has been in fits and starts. Like they do the good stuff or a Stadia Connect, and then like months and months go by and they don't do anything like that. They should be doing stuff like that all the time, at least one, maybe multiple times a week.
Yep. Yeah, I love it. The This Week in Stadia stuff they do is great. It doesn't come every Tuesday at 11 a.m. my time anymore, which it kind of did. But yeah, getting more of that marketing stuff out would be great. More blog posts, more article, or more advertisements rather, like advertise on TV, advertise on YouTube. You have a captive audience, Google. You have people that put their videos on YouTube that want to run ads. You have people that are watching videos on YouTube that aren't paying for YouTube Premium, so they don't mind watching ads. Just start advertising what Stadia is to all those people. Captive audiences are some of the easiest to market to.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode of StadiaCast. Big thank you to everybody who either became a member or sent in a super chat or sat here and listened to us talk about video games for the last hour. We really do appreciate it. If you haven't already checked out the YouTube channel, head on over to nerdnest.tv for a bunch of content over there. I've been a little, like last couple of weeks, I've been taking a kind of a break just because I've been slammed with work. But, you know, I'm going to start being able to make some more videos coming up soon. So thank you very much for that. And if you haven't checked out, we've got a new podcast, Lloyd and I, where we talk about the Steam Deck. The podcast is called On Deck. It is right here on our YouTube channel, as well as wherever podcasts are downloaded. I think we're up to episode 5 or something like that, because Lloyd and I just don't get enough time to chat about video games.
100%, 100%.
All right, that's it for this episode, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Lloyd, tell everybody goodbye.
All right, everybody, take it easy. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk to you here next Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern for next episode of StadiaCast.